Science tells us what's good for the heart is also good for the brain, and that's what led the team behind the best-selling Superbeats Heart Chews to create their new Superbeats Memory and Focus. Research has shown that by promoting blood flow, you can support cardiovascular and cognitive health. Combining clinically studied fermented resveratrol with a patented coffee fruit extract, Superbeats Memory and Focus promotes brain blood flow, supports memory, alertness, and helps to support reduced perceptions of mental fatigue. Superbeats Memory and Focus supports brain health in two ways, by promoting blood flow and supporting healthy levels at BDNF. Healthy levels of BDNF, a key neuroprotein, support overall brain health as we age. Get a free 30-day supply of Superbeats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Superbeats Heart Chews when you shop at danasbeats.com. That's a free 30-day supply of Superbeats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Superbeats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
This executive order will position us to be able to raise the refugee admissions back up to 125,000 persons for the first full fiscal year of the Biden-Harris administration. And I'm directing the State Department to consult with Congress about making a down payment on that commitment as soon as possible. And to further repair our moral leadership, I'm also issuing a presidential memo to agencies to reinvigorate our leadership on the LGBTQI issues and do it internationally. You know, we'll ensure diplomacy and foreign assistance are working to promote the rights of those individuals included by combating criminalization and protecting the LGBTQ refugees and asylum seekers.
So that's Joe Biden, who is, well, he's walking back the cap. That was something that they were going, I am less interested in this than I am the photo. I have been thinking about talking about this photo all night. I was like, what, we've got to talk, how am I going to open it? How am I going to get to this? I honestly went to bed like, I hope nothing crazy happens so I can talk about this photo in the first segment of the show. Welcome to the show, by the way. I'm Dana Lash. DanaLash.com. Make sure you go to the website, subscribe. And we have a lot to get into tomorrow. Or, well, today, actually. I was going to say tomorrow's Cinco de Mayo. So we're going to remember how Trump made everybody mad by having a taco salad. I feel like if we had secret margaritas, because they're not supposed to have them on air, then, you know, to celebrate Cinco de Mayo. Anyway, long story short, I'm going to try to at least get through one headline before I focus back on this photo, because my brain's like, photo, photo, photo. You're going to know what I'm talking about in just a second. So that was, again, welcome to the show, danalash.com. Go and subscribe to the newsletter, Chapter and Verse. I had a one that I was coming out with last night, and it ended up, actually, it's over at Newsweek, but I have a second one that I'm working up tonight that actually you're going to get shortly after radio that is about something we're going to be talking about later on the show, the fight within the GOP. So a lot of stuff coming at you, but you did get the headline prep. We got a chainsaw murderer in the background. It's all kinds of stuff happening today on the show. Oh, man. Anyway, so the president... And it is literally a chainsaw murderer right in the back, right in the back of the show. So anyway, the president was walking back. He kept saying, well, we're not going to have a cap on refugees. We're going to have a cap on refugee. I felt like he was getting pulled in a number of different focus group directions. And it's not really like a leader to that. It wasn't exactly leadership. But I'm going to give him, you know, I'm going to give him a little bit of grace, because maybe he was completely thrown by the miniaturization of the Carters. Here we go with the photo. I told you I was going to come back.
That segue, though.
Guys, can we just stop everything for one moment? One moment. And ask Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. So this is just, I almost wanted to say June Carter. This is Jimmy and Rosalind Carter. It's not June Carter Cash. Jimmy and Rosalind Carter. And this photo, the Carter Center, I didn't do this. No one on the no conservative did this. The Carter Center tweeted this photo out like yesterday. And I was looking at this. The internet was looking at this. And we wondered, okay, why are they so small? That's the first thing that we wondered. And then we were like, are those size 19s on Jimmy Carter's feet? Like, what size shoe is that? And Joe Biden is about to break Rosalind Carter's chair. And what in Willy Wonka Hades is happening here? Remember the room where he went in when he was getting into the Chocolate River room? And everything was teeny weeny tiny. What is happening? Are they, why are they so wee? I don't, they are very, I could not do anything else last night. I was frozen, and thank heavens I finished my op-ed last night because I was frozen in thought after I saw this. I am not the only one, by the way. Other people were also. And a million different people were trying to explain what we were seeing here. So the Carter Center tweeted this out. And I believe that's a Dolce & Gabbana dress that Jill Biden is wearing. Just, it's not bad. I just, I like lemons, and I know that it's a long story. Anyway, why are they, what is happening in this photo? Why are, I mean, I hear the story that the elderly shrink. You know, when you hit like 90, 100, you shrink down. I don't know why.
Gravity.
It's not gravity.
Science.
Someone said that this was a forced perspective. Duh. I love it when people explain the obvious to you. Well, it looks like a forced perspective. So then someone explained, because this is exactly what the Carter Center tweeted out. And that's why everyone was, that's why nobody could believe what they were seeing. So what ultimately ended up happening, and everyone was theorizing until apparently the photographer got involved, it was a wide-angle lens because it's horrible staging. I don't know why Joe and Jill, like somebody couldn't have gotten in the middle. I don't understand. But it was a wide-angle lens. And so if you think about it, the stuff on the end, when you're like, if when you're doing a panoramic shot on your iPhone or you're doing a wide-angle on your iPhone, the stuff on the end kind of appears bigger. And what they ended up doing, Rachel's dying, what they ended up doing is shrinking it down to regular photo size and kind of altering it like that, just not telling anybody what they did. So this is why everyone was like, is that why we didn't see Joe? Is he a secret giant? And can you be secret and also a giant? That's not really something you can hide. And then, you know, you contest this? You honestly think they're that wee?
I just think a lens... That's the explanation for them looking like Jill and Joe are both ventriloquists?
Well, yeah. I just realized I couldn't see his other hand. Well, it's on the chair. It's on the chair.
Okay.
It's on the chair.
All right.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's no way that Jimmy Carter's feet are 19s, 20s, lens. Or whatever.
It's a lens trick.
So they said what it ended up being was that they said it was not a trick. Like, they didn't do it like, oh, we're going to trick you. They just, it was a wide angle lens because they couldn't get everything in. And so then they did it because you can kind of tell, I guess, like, look at the bottom of, if you guys see this photo, you'll see it. The bottom of her chair, for those watching on the simulcast on the first, the bottom of her chair is curved. And so that makes me think, okay, yeah, there's some truth to that. Because at first I thought immediately, I put on my tinfoil hat with everything. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's why we haven't seen him. Of course he's that giant. And that's what 11 o'clock p.m. Dana thought. But then I saw, just saying. So that's what ended up happening. Because I tweeted, I did put this on my Facebook page. And your all's comments, I was crying. I was crying because of the comments. You have to go to Official Dana Lash on Facebook, find this photo, and you got to read the comments underneath it. But, I mean, it was astounding. But there were a number of photographers who were talking about this. But ultimately, that's what ended up happening. All right, we got that very important thing out of the way. Also, it May the 4th be with you, Kane.
Oh, mm-hmm. Thank you for that.
Yeah, and I just heard every Catholic in our listening audience go, and also with you. I just heard everybody. May the 4th be with you. And I heard voices cry out, and also with you. Well, wait, it's radio. It's May 4th. So today's the Star Wars day, and then tomorrow is Cinco de Mayo. All right, so a number of things to discuss today. We've been following critical race theory. I have a piece up at Newsweek. They published it that you're going to want to go and check out, and I'll send that link out. That is the five steps to the red print, to replicating the victory that we had in my community, in your community, with regards to pushing back against critical race theory. Now, as we were talking about at the start of the show, the president reversing course because of the refugee cap outrage. So originally he said, okay, well, we're going to keep it at the 15,000 that was Trump's cap. That was what Trump had. But the left was just, they were infuriated. Oh my gosh, they were so mad. I mean, they immediately started attacking him. Apparently it never occurs to people, especially some of the surrogates that I know have access to DC. I'm like, did you guys like even think about emailing him maybe first before? I don't know. But he's reverse course. He's going to keep it at the levels that Trump had them. He was going back and forth on this. I'm going to lift the cap. Axios said it was going to be 62,500 this fiscal year. And that was, this was after, which is quite a significant difference from the 15,000 cap that he had committed to that made the left so mad. And they just assailed him. And this is how it was described. So the New York Times said, oh, he's going to keep the Trump cap. Biden keeps the Trump Stephen Miller refugee cap. Just on and on. Oh, and then here's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez accusing him of upholding the xenophobic and racist policies of the Trump administration. He was called AOC. He was called an immoral abomination, a disgrace. I'm just reading like different verified lawmakers' responses. Premier Jayapal had said that it was unacceptable and that he must raise the cap. I mean, on and on and on and on. Biden's not standing for decency. So he was accused of being a racist. So he promptly caved. So now, as I said, Axios says that we're looking at pretty much 62,500 this fiscal year. This is this year. So this is not leadership. This is the mob running everything. That's what this is. This is the mob running things. He is the outrage mob president. So, and that's all they have to do. All they have to do in order to influence him. That's the other thing. He is going to raise it. It's going to essentially be double what it is now. So, which is, oh man. And I would imagine as well that the process for vetting refugees, I'm sure that it's going to get the same attention that the process that they have for the crisis at the border. I'm sure it's going to get the exact same attention there. Also, a couple of other things as well. Let me go to this first. This is more on Hunter Biden. So his, how many did it sell its first week? Like barely 10,000. Hunter Biden's memoir about he's basically Mike Lindell without the pillow success, the smarts, the business acumen, or math skills, right? Isn't that kind of how he is? So he apparently is writing a sequel to his autobiography. He already got a $2 million advance. He got a massive check for his first book, which barely sold 10,000 copies its first week. My books have sold more than that in its first week. This is Hunter Biden, right? Son of a president. He's been in the news.
And all the press he got?
He was ever... No one wanted to buy it.
And during?
No one wanted to buy this damn thing. How in the world? So what this is he had a two-book deal. And it didn't... His first one didn't go over... I mean, because he didn't... There's no way that he would have nabbed a $2 million advance on another book when his first book didn't even sell, barely sold 10,000 copies. There's no way. So this was a two-book deal. And even with the media blitz, I mean, it did not rank anywhere. So it also came out that he still retains a 10% firm in the Bohai Harvest RST Equity Investment Fund Managed Company. And this is owned by what? Communist Bank of China. It's a state-controlled bank. This is absolutely opposite to what Joe Biden had said as well. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to get into some of the earmarks. Pelosi has earmarked $1 million for a museum tied to a group that honors Christine Blasey Ford. You remember her as well, right? We're going to get into all of that. We're also going to talk about some census stuff. The new powerhouse demo within the GOP, it's Hispanic Americans. We're going to talk about that as well coming up. A lot of stuff to get into. Science tells us what's good for the heart is also good for the brain. And that's what led the team behind the best-selling Superbeats Heart Chews to create their new Superbeats Memory and Focus. Research has shown that by promoting blood flow, you can support cardiovascular and cognitive health. Combining clinically studied fermented resveratrol with a patented coffee fruit extract, Superbeats Memory and Focus promotes brain blood flow, supports memory, alertness, and helps to support reduced perceptions of mental fatigue. Superbeats Memory and Focus supports brain health in two ways, by promoting blood flow and supporting healthy levels at BDNF. Healthy levels of BDNF, a key neuroprotein, support overall brain health as we age. Get a free 30-day supply of Superbeats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Superbeats Heart Chews when you shop at danasbeats.com. That's a free 30-day supply of Superbeats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Superbeats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Maryland's Governor Larry Hogan said that the state is going to offer $100 to state employees to get the coronavirus vaccine. He says, quote, "With this incentive program, we are further encouraging state employees to get vaccinated to help keep themselves, their families, and their communities healthy and safe. All state employees who provide proof of vaccination and agree to any CDC-recommended booster shot within 18 months of the vaccination are eligible for the incentive." Wow, you got to pay. You got to pay people to do it. Okay. Still not enough. Aw, Bill Gates and Melinda Gates are divorcing after 27 years. Their four words, there is no prenup. He might not be America's or one of the world's richest man anymore for this. He may drop down actually to 17th. I know that that's like the big thing that I was focusing on. They just seem like mean people. I'm sorry. They do. They seem like totally mean. The couple agreed to give away more than half their wealth. We'll see about how that works. Financial implications are not immediately clear, but Bill Gates and his wife, who's now going as Melinda French Gates, said yesterday that they're going to split up after 27 years. They're going to work together on philanthropic efforts. They said after a great deal and of thought and a lot of work on a relationship, we made the decision to end our marriage. Apparently, it was irrevocably or irretrievably broken down is what I think was in Melinda Gates's filing. And there you go. So it's, you know, it's sad to see, but also they seem like mean people. I'd have to come back to the Biden chicken wing crisis. It's his crisis.
The border crisis is getting worse, and so is big tech censorship. Hi, this is Sarah Carter. On The Sarah Carter Show, I explain the problems that are happening at our southern border that are a direct result of Biden administration policies. And I'm staying on top of the left and big tech, trying to stifle the freedom of speech for conservatives and anyone who dares to challenge their narrative. Join me as we take on these massive challenges that impact all of us. Subscribe to The Sarah Carter Show at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want a deeper dive into The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana Lash's chapter and verse newsletter by visiting danalash.com and clicking on the subscribe tab. Don't worry, your info is safe with her.
I don't know why I'm being harassed today, because I was going under the speed limit. I was going at 38.
Yes, you are, ma'am. Good morning.
And the speed limit is 40, and I was going 38, so why are you harassing me?
You are correct. I pulled you over because
You're a murderer. Yes, I started to record because you're a murderer.
You can't be on your cell phone while you're driving.
I wasn't on my phone. I was recording you because you scared me.
You can't use your cell phone while you're recording.
I can record you.
May I have your driver's license?
It's at my apartment.
What's your apartment?
It's at my home. I'm just taking my son to his.
Do you have your driver's license?
I mistakenly left it at home.
Do you have a picture of your driver's license?
Yes, I do.
May I have it?
And can you call your supervisor, please?
I already did. He's on his way.
Good, because you're a murderer.
Okay.
Oh.
And so you're giving me a cell phone ticket? Is that why you're harassing me?
So this is
not harassment. I am enforcing the law.
This is an officer who pulled this woman over. She's a teacher, apparently. And this is how she treats him. Welcome back to The Dana Show. There's more of this today. Listen to this.
And record the police when they're harassing me.
By all means. But you can't do it while you're driving.
Doesn't texting or none of that.
You
scared me and made me think you were going to murder me.
Okay, well, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Well, that's not just a feeling. You're a murderer.
Okay. Can you zoom in on that for me?
Sure.
Dan? Thank you.
And I'm perfectly legal, and I'm a teacher. So there.
Congratulations.
Murderer. You're a murderer.
What's your last name? I can't see that there.
Well, if here you go, murderer.
Stop shaking. Zoom in on that for me.
No, because you're scaring me. You're threatening to kill me and my son. Can you give me
okay.
the
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. You keep smiling.
Yeah,
you're on camera.
You're trying to threaten to kill me. I'm not smiling. You're the one who's crazy.
Hold that still. I can't see that. Is this your car?
Yes, it is. And you're trying to say I stole my own car because you're jealous?
Yeah,
is that what
I don't
that's
think
about?
So. You wait for me right here, okay?
You're jealous.
Citation. All you need to do is your signature. He's only citing you for using your cell phone while you're driving. That's it.
There you go, ma'am. Signing inside the red box right there.
For him being a Mexican racist. What is that name? Gasco.
It's on the citation, ma'am.
Here you go, Mexican racist. You're always going to be a Mexican. You'll never be white. You know
that,
right?
Oh, my gosh.
You'll never be white, which is what you really want to be.
So this is a California teacher who is absolutely berating this cop. And he's a Latino deputy. Oh my gosh. Bill Malugin, who is based in California and he works as a national correspondent with Fox News, this deputy sent him this video footage. And she is a teacher. And she's going off on this cop. So what happened was apparently she was like texting or something while driving. And that's how he caught her, because she had her phone up. And wow, wow, wow. Her name and all of that is blurred and the information that she shared. But quite honestly, I think it should be made public. That's me. I think it should be made public. This video has been watched by over 3 million times. Over 3 million times. This was in San Dimas. So, and this was, this is just awful. A Latino deputy out there maintaining the peace, serving the community. He pulls over a teacher who's apparently texting while driving. And she couldn't produce her ID. And apparently it's because he's a racist murderer. That's what she said. Is this woman legit teaching kids? Because I think that the public deserves to know who she is. Yeah. That's me. Am I being harsh with that? Because
kids in the district or family in the district, that'd be my first concern.
Oh my gosh, if she was in my district, I'd already ID'd her. I would have already ID'd this woman. Yeah. Oh my gosh. This is what cops got to put up with. It doesn't even matter. Like, if you're a cop, apparently, it doesn't matter what your skin color is or your ethnicity. You become a white racist cop the moment that uniform goes on. And a murderer. I was murdered. This woman. I cannot stand broads like this. I cannot stand. You know the type, right? These broads. You know the type of broads. These are the ones who, like, when you're in line at the grocery store and you got your, you know, your cart of stuff or whatever. I was at somewhere and I had a ball cap on and I was out running errands. But there was a woman behind me. And this was actually a couple years ago. A woman behind me who she kept saying that I was too close to her cart and she was behind me. I was at the conveyor belt, putting my stuff on the conveyor belt. And she was like, your cart, because I had my cart up at the very end so I could take stuff out. I had like big, heavy waters and stuff because I have a lot of kids that come and I was putting stuff on the conveyor belt. I'm not going to sit here. What in the world? I'm like, and that made it easier for me to lift it out of the. And she's like, your cart's too close to mine. And I just looked at her. I didn't say anything. My inner voice did, though. But you know the type, right? Those type of women. Those women. Oh, my gosh. That broad. So that, I feel so bad for this officer. I don't know who this officer is. I feel so bad for him. And she had her, and here's the other thing. She had her kid in the car. Well, I was worried that, you know, my son thought, man, we were going to murder me and my son. If I was her child, I would be so embarrassed. He is going to require so much therapy as an adult. This kid is going to require so much therapy because can you just imagine? Heaven forbid. And the deputy arrived and he's like, look, you were clearly using your phone while you were driving. This is why you're getting a citation. This is why. Here you go, you Mexican racist. Who? I want to know who this woman is. So the LA County Sheriff said that he's proud of his deputy for staying calm and professional during the interaction. Maluja notes that San Dimas, the county, that's the station of LA County Sheriff's Department. They don't officially have body cameras, but this deputy bought one for himself. And he is so smart. He bought his own body camera. God love him. Because they don't have it in their budget. I wonder if that has to do with defunding the police or anything. Yeah. You know what? If your police do not have body cameras, take it upon yourself and buy them one. Buy an officer a body camera. If find out if in your area, your department has the budget for body cameras, because they ain't cheap. And if they don't, buy one for a deputy. Do an adopted deputy and buy him a body cam. I mean, this is just one of the most unbelievable things. I feel so bad for this guy. And the deputy, the deputy shows him. He's like, oh my gosh, you're a murderer. Oh my word. I mean, she doesn't have her. I mean, he's just asking, you know, if she can show proof of insurance and her registration, because it's the common thing to ask, Karen. It's the common thing to ask. Good heaven. I just, like I said, I feel bad. Do we know how old the kid is that was sitting in the car with her? I haven't been able to find anything about it. But can you, I mean, just imagine that child is sitting in that car with her and he's learning this poisonous behavior. Or what about, you know, she's a teacher, the kids in her classroom. I mean, what do they learn from this woman? Because I would not trust this woman to handle my kids. There's no way in the world. There's no way in the world that I would trust this woman with my children. Good heavens. I feel so bad for this officer. This is what cops put up with. They got to put up with this stuff. And I really wish that they would identify this woman, and I wish that she would apologize for her behavior. She acted like, though, that she was entitled to be doing what she was doing. Oh, yes, I was on my phone driving. You're not entitled. It's California. They actually have pretty strict laws about that. If you dislike it, then change it. It's not, the cop didn't write that law. Karen, you probably voted for the politician that did. You probably had a yard sign for him in your yard. Pretty sure. Just awful. People can be just so horrible. So apparently, I didn't realize. Is there seriously a chicken wing crisis? Are we seriously dealing with this after this year?
We were supposed to. I think it was last year's Super Bowl.
Oh, no, 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 no. Uh-uh. No, this is a real thing that was published just yesterday.
Seriously?
Uh-huh. Yep. It is, so this is KCRA. They said, yet another pandemic shortage is here. Chicken wing prices are soaring, forcing restaurants to adapt. Why in the hell is the pandemic affecting the chicken wing shortage? Just take them off the chicken. What is happening? Why? So they said, they interviewed this one Virginia Beach restaurant, J&K Style Grill. It's known for its crispy jumbo wings, fried to order. Anyway, the guy's like, look, we can't deliver all, the supplier said he can't deliver all the chicken wings he needs to run his business. And when we can get a hold of him, it's cost prohibitive. So he moved to boneless wings, which are just basically chicken tendies. There's no boneless wing. It's a chicken tendy masquerading as a wing. It's a big nug. That's what it is. It's just a big nug. That's all. So this, they said they used to get 24 cases of wings a week. Right now they're getting shorted 8, and it keeps going down. And the pricing, so if you get wings and you notice that they're the price of your chicken wings, I'm a huge chicken wing aficionado. By the way, some of the best ways to do them in your oven, get a little butter and Frank's Red Hot. Melt that butter in that Frank's Red Hot. Make that Frank's Red Hot real glossy. Ooh, it's delicious. You're welcome. So good. Ooh, and then if you want to be super healthy, you can take some of the big tendies or just basically cut some chicken breast and you can fry them up with some butter and Frank's and put some more butter and Frank's and then toast like some sandwich bread, right? Put you some celery on that. Put you some cream cheese. Get it all. Oh my gosh, this is the best sandwich ever. You can also do it in a wrap. You're welcome. So good. It basically, Frank's Red Hot with butter will go with anything. They should advertise at this point. That was a commercial. I want to buy it again, even though I have 3 bottles in my pantry and 1 on my fridge. I'm sad about the chicken wing thing because this has been a really, you know what? I already was restricted on my vacation travel. So the where I wanted to go, I can't go. Now they're telling me that my wing obsession is now in danger. I mean, I was murdered. That's what's happening here. So wait, why is it the Biden chicken wing crisis? Because isn't Dems to rules? I will say that I do find it funny that some of our like-minded sites that we like to read are saying that it's Biden's wing crisis. I'm like, okay, come on now. Like, I dislike the guy's policies, and I dislike the guy's person too, as a person too. But it's not any more Biden's wing crisis than it's Trump's wing crisis. Is it a crisis though? Like, how is this a crisis and the border's not? Like, where does this go? Yeah, I know. I'm telling you. So cancel culture, Disneyland Snow White ride was attacked for consent issues. I'll be damned. Right when they open up Disneyland, then everybody gets on it and they're immediately offended. This was not time for people to go home and cocoon and get more offended by things when they emerge. Like, they went in as a Karen and they emerged as a Mecca Karen. I don't know what... where does... But the San Francisco, their paper, sfgate.com, they have this story where it opened Friday for the first time in more than 400 days, and they showed off its newly revamped Snow White's Enchanted Wish ride, and they're super mad because Snow White's asleep, and the prince gives her a kiss to wake her up without her consent.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Let's just pause the ride for a second, okay? First off, this is based on a make-believe world in which people aren't just put into comas and the magic of a kiss awakens them. That's because that's anti-science. It's only possible in this magical kingdom. So you're telling me that since these people want to put this scenario in our real-world meat space, that if someone was in a coma, and the only thing that could awaken that person from a coma, which I'm pretty sure Snow White was put in a coma without her consent too,
yeah.
That the only way to awaken that person who was put without their consent into a coma, the only way to awaken that person was by a kiss, that you would deny them that because they were, then aren't you keeping them in a coma without their consent? This is the stupidest thing ever.
Who White sign a DNR?
Who has time to do this? Yeah. Who has time to do this and get mad about this? In fact, reviewers, they should be named Karen and Karen. Katie Dowd and Jolie Tremaine, they attacked the ride. You know what? I know we're running out of time. I really need to properly make fun of this. And this is the dumbest thing I've ever read. I feel like I need to publicly. I feel like I need to publicly make fun of them. Like on Twitter and stuff, find their Twitter accounts because this is so stupid. But they're mad, they're sailing this ride, and they go, haven't we already agreed that consent in early Disney movies is a major issue? Like, what consent? Like, where she was fed a poisoned apple and she ate poison without her consent? Or she was put into a coma without her consent? Or how about she was turned out of her home without her consent and sent to live with some vertically challenged men without her consent? Right? What in the world? Oh my gosh. Oh my. And then this one chick, this broad is, she's like, teaching kids that kissing when it hasn't been established if both parties are willing to engage is not okay. We're going to so make fun of this. I have not even begun to ridicule. So we got this to come. We had this coming up. Also, with the latest with Rona, New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut are ending a lot of their restrictions on May 19th. We'll discuss all of that. Also, people are trying to cancel Billie Eilish because she posed in like this pinup aesthetic for British Vogue, and they're mad because she's not wearing British, aggressively androgynous TikTok clothes. So we're going to talk about all of that and a heck of a lot more. So you don't want to miss a single bit of it. We got a lot coming for you today. Science tells us what's good for the heart is also good for the brain. And that's what led the team behind the best-selling Super Beats Heart Chews to create their new Super Beats Memory and Focus. Research has shown that by promoting blood flow, you can support cardiovascular and cognitive health. Combining clinically studied fermented resveratrol with a patented coffee fruit extract, Super Beats Memory and Focus promotes brain blood flow, supports memory, alertness, and helps to support reduced perceptions of mental fatigue. Superbeats Memory and Focus supports brain health in two ways, by promoting blood flow and supporting healthy levels at BDNF. Healthy levels of BDNF, a key neuroprotein, support overall brain health as we age. Get a free 30-day supply of Superbeats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Superbeats Heart Chews when you shop at danasbeats.com. That's a free 30-day supply of Superbeats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Superbeats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
It's the Dana Show.
DanaLash.com. Subscribe to Chapter and Verse. I'll send a link out to that Newsweek piece that I have about CRT in Southlake, in my town. So in the June issue of British Vogue, Billie Eilish posed on the cover. And it's like she's in like a corset and a bustier kind of thing. She's shaped like a woman, so that shouldn't shock anyone because she's a girl. And she was getting a lot of hate for this from people who, I don't get it. Like, apparently, Freedom for Women, and I honestly, compared to some of the other stuff that I've seen, let's be real, this ain't like a Miley Cyrus kind of thing. It's like a very like 20s, 30s-esque sort of pinup thing. And it's not, you know, and she's, like I said, she's shaped like a woman. And it's just this pinup aesthetic. And people were upset with her because she wasn't in this, she wasn't wearing this aggressively androgynous, you know, baggy stuff. And she, you know, just was tastefully embracing this like pinup look for a British Vogue shoot. I mean, doesn't she have the right to do that? That's still artistry and it's still her decision to do it on her terms, you shamers. Just very interesting. Stick with us. We got a lot of other stuff in store.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what.
Sometimes, like, if she, like, wouldn't let us, like, if we were, like, really tired, then we can, you know, take a little nap.
Yeah, you just turn off the camera. I've seen that. Yeah, and you call on some, and your teacher calls on you, and they're like, where are you?
And if you don't know the question, you just pretend like your mind doesn't matter.
Oh. Apparently, so that was one of the kids who was, I couldn't tell what the hell that was. It was Joe Biden was in a classroom and the kids were like, masks suck, right? That's pretty much what it was.
Pretty much. Yeah. But they were also praising, you know, the online learning because they said if they're tired, they could take a nap.
Yeah.
And if they don't know the answer to a question, they can act like their mic doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back to the show, everybody. I'm Dana Lash. DanaLash.com. Go and subscribe to that newsletter, Chapter and Verse. And I have a piece out about critical race theory and five ways that you can beat it in your school district. It's up at Newsweek. So, and kudos to them for running it because that's, I mean, not every day that happens. So we're, that's very cool that they did. All right. So those kids speaking yesterday, our school board had, we don't have the new school board members sat on it yet. They're not seated with the board yet. So it was the old members, but the kids were blasting the administration in our school board meeting yesterday. So I had Fox last night, and after I did Fox, I had the school board meeting streaming, and the kids were coming up. I was amazed. I was tweeting about some of it because one of the kids said, I miss seeing my teacher smile. There was one mom who really moved me. She went up and was talking about how her son was very, very shy when they moved here. And it was just a few years ago that they moved here. And he always wanted to wear like a hoodie and keep his hood up to kind of like, you know, hide himself. And he just didn't, you know, he was having difficulty adjusting to the move because apparently they moved from like one of the Carolinas. I don't remember which one she said. And they had to move for the dad's work. And so he was just kind of having a lot of difficulty adjusting because he's kind of introverted. And apparently his sister's very extroverted. And so he's, you know, was introverted and having a little difficulty adjusting. And so she was like, you know, come out, quit hiding behind stuff, quit hiding behind your clothes, quit hiding behind your, you know, this, and was forcing him to go and not hide himself. And she said, I've noticed that since the mask, you know, requirement was put into place, she's like, I honestly think that it helps students who are introverted regress back into themselves. And it aids in, you know, that introverted behavior. And it was she was very passionate about it. And I just keep thinking, I was thinking to myself, I wonder how many other students that this is affecting. There was another woman who came up and she is a medical professional. She actually works, I forget what her exact title was. It was something that had to do with emotional trauma. And that was, she had a degree, some kind of psychological degree of study, and she was a healthcare professional, and she said that the anxiety and the stress that goes unrealized, even by the kids themselves, from having to wear masks this long every single day, she said it does train your behavior. And she was talking about the long-term emotional consequences of putting this stuff on kids, particularly when we know now, and there were a number of medical professionals, there was a couple of doctors who spoke, their parents in the community, and they said there's doctors who are telling these school board administrators there's absolutely nothing whatsoever that supports keeping a mask mandate in place. And one doctor was just, everybody had 60 seconds, there was a big timer, and this one doctor was just citing report after report, study after study, looking at school-aged children and discussing how they are physically, it's impossible for them to be carriers or spreaders because of their physical maturity, and how that doesn't lend itself to the carrying and keeping of the virus, of the virus itself. And it was amazing to see the board and these administrators get called out like this, and the kids that were going up. I love what one kid had said. And he says, one kid came up and he goes, "We're here to talk about a problem that should have been solved a long time ago. I won't let the school control my life by making me wear a mask. That's my parents' job." Oh my gosh. And then one kid blasted the school board for trying to implement critical race theory. And he goes, "You're not going to teach us to only see color." And I was so impressed by these kids. One of my favorite speakers, and you all need to be, your school board streams their meetings, and if you can't make it there, you need to be watching it. And also, because it's amazing to watch when at a time like this, when, you know, the passions are high, because it is very, it is good viewing, let's be real. But there was one dad who came up and he brought a copy of that, the CRT plan, the critical race theory plan. It's called Cultural Competency Plan, CCAP. He is a father from India. Blasted this board. He made him stop the clock. He's like, No, because this was one of the first times that they had everything open to full capacity, whereas previously, like, all of the board meetings were limited to X amount of people. So there were a lot of parents who showed up that haven't been able to previously because of those restrictions. And he blasted them. He goes, he's like, "You're going to stop that clock." And he held it up and he's like, "This is poison." And he goes, "Why are you teaching?" I quoted him. "Why are you teaching this poison to kids?" He goes, "What is wrong with meritocracy?" He read them the Riot Act. I had straight up chills. Whew. There's a photo of him up there too. Oh man, he's holding up. He's reading them the Riot Act. He was so upset about this, and rightfully so. I mean, these are their kids, and he's watching all this stuff happen and very concerned. But what gets me is after this dad, and he's like, and he's discussing, like, "Do you know what a meritocracy is? Do you know how important merit is? Do you know how important it is to teach kids merit?" And going on and on. There was a tubby white Marxist that came up right after him and dismissed him as just some random angry parent, as white Marxists do. I don't even know if the white Marxist had kids in the district or, you know, whatever, but, you know, as white Marxists do. So that was something else. It just fascinating. And what's interesting to me is that some of the people who speak the loudest about this are white Marxists who don't have kids in the district. And they get mad at me because my kids go to a Christian school, but I'm a taxpayer just like you. So why is it that my taxes go here? If you want my money, I go with my money. If you don't want me involved, then don't be taking my money. But you don't get to come up and ask me for my taxpayer dollars and then not expect my input to go along with it. Because when you take my taxpayer dollars, guess what? You take my counsel. You take hearing me tell you what to do. That's what happens, because I earned that money. I made that money. I worked those long hours for that money. I put in 13 and 14 hour days for that money. So when you steal my money in the form of taxpayer dollars, I go where my money goes. And if you don't want me telling you what to do with your stuff, then don't be taking my money. Simple as that. So this dad, he's amazing. And then the white Marxist comes up behind him. Whoa, just some random angry parent. You all have to be involved. I talk about this in my latest Newsweek piece. My latest piece up at Newsweek, where I get into the five steps. How you win, how you win against critical race theory, the red print. And so I go into some of what these requirements were for the the critical race theory, the cultural competency plan. Did you know? So it was it's a $3 million proposal that they were pushing in our district. $3 million. It would it called on the district to root out microaggressions. It defined microaggressions as anything that was unconsciously or subconsciously done. They discussed too how they were going to open up a hotline for people to rat out kids and who did not follow the whole cultural competency plan. They did not follow everything with equity, etc. It detailed also how the district is going to track microaggressions for inclusion on the student's discipline offense history. That's what it called it. The main strategies included requiring, quote, diversity and including training for students as an enrollment to graduation process in all grades. They wanted critical race theory curriculum for each grade. Students would be regularly surveyed on inclusion and diversity. They would have that hotline established for reporting violations that, quote, inhibit progress towards cultural competence goals. Every school club must undergo an equity audit. Imagine the Christian Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Every school club would be forced to undergo an equity audit. They were going to hire a director of equity and inclusion. And then the school district must create a PR campaign with magazine ads and professionally produced videos featuring equity messaging. That's on page 7. Mm-hmm. Their critical race theory plan mentioned equity 134 times. Now, agreeing to something like this, not just in my school district, but in yours, is to accept this definition of our irrevocably flawed republic and affirm that the absence of racism is impossible. And because of this, opportunity and resources must be allocated to reflect this disparity. Now that is equity. Whereas equality treats everyone the same regardless the circumstance, equity treats everyone differently because of the circumstance. I mean, that's to accept the definition of equity in critical race theory. That's what it means. The belief that the entire republic is so unbelievably flawed that that absence of racism is absolutely impossible. And so that's what it is. And you have to accept it as is or you're a racist. So this is what I tell parents. And I want you to, I'll send this out to you in the newsletter as well. But it took a year for us to get to that election night success. And a lot of people worked really, really hard. You cannot be afraid to speak up in defense of your kids or of your neighbors that defend your principles. You cannot let people wither on the vine out there on your behalf. I'm going to tell y'all parents something else. And I know a lot of people are scared. They're worried about their jobs, everything else. Fear has no place, because if you cannot speak up for your own kids against Marxist ideology, then who will? This is a part of parenting. And sometimes parenting requires you to do something that is even more self-sacrificial than anything you could have possibly imagined. This is what parenting is. If you cannot defend your kids against Marxist indoctrination, if you can't speak up for them, how in the world can you expect anyone else to? Don't outsource your parental duty. So you can go and check. I'm going to send that out. And you can go and it's up at Newsweek now. And I've also tweeted it and it's over on Facebook. So coming up, Mayor Pete Buttigieg and trains. I don't know what it is with leftists and trains. Why are they like, yes, trains. We need more trains everywhere. This is just like Atlas Shrugged. It's almost a joke how much like it is, right? Good night. We're going to talk about that as well. They're trying to cancel J.K. Rowling. They're trying to cancel Glenn Danzig. What? Oh, now it's a fight. I think are brass knuckles legal here yet? Just saying. No, no. It's a great piece of jewelry. These aren't brass knuckles. They're just some jewelry. Yeah. Now more than ever, it's vital to support companies and organizations that share your values. And Patriot Mobile is calling all patriots. Switch to Patriot Mobile today. Bring your own phone and you'll get 50% off your first 2 months plus a free Patriot starter kit. And for a limited time, enter the Be a Patriot promotion to win a free phone and cellular service for life. Simply donate to one of Patriot Mobile's participating charities. Send in your thoughts on what it means to be a patriot, or switch your service to a Patriot Mobile plan. With the broadest nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget and great multi-line discounts. Switching is easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Veterans and first responders save even more, so make the switch today. Get the discount, free starter kit, and enter the Be a Patriot promotion for a chance to win using the offer code DANA. A full list of rules is available at patriotmobile.com/Dana. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
Listen to The Dana Show on your Alexa by opening the app settings and linking your podcast service to your Alexa. And then say, Alexa, play The Dana Show podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
So there was an intruder shot at CIA headquarters. This apparently was at the main entrance. No agency personnel were hurt. And the Virginia facility remains secure. But it was a suspected intruder stopped by armed guards near the main entrance. And it was about 6 p.m. The unidentified suspect got out of their vehicle with a weapon before agents opened fire. They did not say what type of weapon the suspect had or the motive, and we'll probably never hear anything about it again. There you go. Just going to put that away under the rug. Nothing to see here. Chinese smart TVs are snooping on their owners, apparently, which should... I don't know why people have Alexas and everything else in their home. I don't understand why that. Why do you people have this stuff in your home? Why? Additionally, hundreds of millions of Chinese consumers, they had a discovery. Their TV sets know lots about them because Beijing-based Gozen Data, a leading Chinese TV viewership analytics firm, has been collecting personal data in real time using their televisions without their consent. That's what it means, women who are mad over the Snow White thing at Disneyland without consent. Just FYI, a Wisconsin dairy offers Aaron Rodgers an incentive to stay in Green Bay. What he gets with the Green Bay Packers. There's a lot of discussion about whether or not he's leaving. And so now Wisconsin dairy farmers are saying that they're going to sweeten the deal. If he stays, the Burnett Dairy Cooperative is going to provide him with free cheese. They sent him a letter. They said that we're going to make a pledge, but the Burnett Dairy Cooperative, as long as Aaron Rodgers remains in Green Bay, we're offering him free cheese. And if he retires with the Packers, we'll make it a lifetime offer. Hopefully we can make this situation cheddar. So apparently, though, he had to change his diet and eliminate dairy products, as ESPN, as part of his recovery from knee surgery. So he's basically eats red meat and chicken and vegetables. That's it. But I don't know. I'm just saying that if I was Aaron Rodgers, and if they also made cheese curds over there at that dairy place, like the squeaky ones and the ones that have like whatever beer batter that is with all the dip and stuff, I'm pretty sure that would probably convince me. And I'm not even making this up. Not at all. Oh, my goodness. Stay with us, because the GOP fight. There's a lot of other stuff going on, but Republicans can't stop the inter-party slap fighting. We'll discuss.
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
So what do you think about President Biden's first 100 days? Now, you know me as a person who says what he thinks, and I don't hide the fact that I wasn't a fan of our last president's character issues. And I'm also no fan...
Why are you doing this to yourself? Show some respect! Hey, Bethany, show some respect.
Aren't you embarrassed?
Oh, gosh.
And I'm also no fan of the president's... Yeah, sure.
My friends... This is the moment I was talking about.
Wow. That's Mitt Romney in Utah at the 2021 Utah GOP convention getting booed. Ooh, my goodness. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. I have a piece coming out about this. You'll get this tonight. So I have been looking at a lot of these fights within the party because I got some headlines here for you. I'm actually looking at all of them right now. I have so many notes. Let me pull up all my headlines for you. I got so many headlines and notes about Liz Cheney. Most of them right now are about Liz Cheney and Kevin McCarthy. And I've written about this in the newsletter. Liz Cheney and Kevin McCarthy. Liz Cheney would love to be House Speaker. There's a really good chance. I have another story here that Republicans are going to take over the House at midterms. Really good chance of that. Really, really good chance of that, actually. And so I have a number of pieces here. I got whether it's people with over at Politico talking about Liz Cheney and Kevin McCarthy. I have the pro Trump Republican trying to upstage Cheney. Let's see, Speaker Nancy Pelosi got into it. She has a statement out. It's called "From the GOP Leadership: Help Wanted, Non-Threatening Female." So this is all by design. Make no mistake, they're jumping all into this. This is all by design. They cite DC Punchbowl saying McCarthy and Scalise want someone in leadership who is not a threat to them and their power. They are positioning this in a certain way to obviously aid themselves, and Republicans are too busy with the slap fight that they don't really see exactly what's happening. The Axios piece, scoop, GOP wants to replace Cheney with another woman. Washington Post, when will Liz Cheney and the GOP break up? Mediaite has, why is Fox News completely ignored Trump and Cheney's battle over the big lie? The big lie, which is whether or not the entire election was stolen. Now, I want to share with you this tweet. Let me pull the, I have a million notes. I know I have a 4-foot wide screen. Bear with me here. Million notes. This was Liz Cheney's tweet yesterday. Quote, the 2020 presidential election was not stolen. Anyone who claims it was is spreading, caps lock, the big lie, turning their back on the rule of law and poisoning our democratic system. Now, she has been in a tug of war power struggle with Kevin McCarthy, who is the House Minority Leader. He stands in her way to ascension. She wants to be House Majority Leader. She will not rule herself out for any kind of future presidential run. And I think that one of the reasons that you've seen George W. Bush come out and speak the way he is because of this. There is absolutely a power struggle underway. The people who were sidelined from the Tea Party think that this is their opportunity to come back. Now, I don't dislike Liz Cheney personally. She follows me on Twitter. I've met her before. I've met her mother. This is like years ago. I was backstage at CPAC going to speak. And this was her last tweet. She was criticized when she bumped fists with Joe Biden in the chamber when he went to give his address. She tweeted on that on April 29th, quote, I disagree strongly with Joe Biden's policies, but when the president reaches out to greet me in the chamber of the House of Representatives, I'll always respond in a civil, respectful, and dignified way. We're not sworn enemies, we're Americans. A lot of thoughts on this. Before I begin, let me set you up with the proper perspective and frame of mind. This is how I'm looking at it. And I say this as someone who has publicly fought with Republicans. My first political act was getting involved in New York's 23rd congressional district race with Dee Dee Scozzafava. And I went to war with Newt Gingrich because Newt Gingrich was backing the Democrat Dee Dee Scozzafava, who became Republican at a very convenient time. And he thought that as opposed to Doug Hoffman, he thought that everybody should vote for her because she had a better chance, the fake Republican, as opposed to Doug Hoffman. This is before Newt's transformation. Now, yes, he was there for the conservative resurgence under Reagan in the 80s and in the 90s, particularly with Clinton. But at this point, he was considered Rhino elite. This was back in 2007. So this was one of my very, very first things that I did. This is right after our first Tea Party event. and actually 2008, and I helped organize. I kicked off this huge fundraising thing for Doug Hoffman, who's challenging Scozza Fava. And we reached out to fellow Tea Partiers in that area, and people were going out. They were going door to door. And it ultimately, I was like, I will jump on this landmine. We would rather not have a Democrat fake Republican than, and we could do that, right? Oh my gosh, Gingrich got mad at me. And I came across him at CPAC, and that's when I was working for PJTV, PJ Media. And I was doing my radio program, but we were just in St. Louis. It was just local. And we kind of had a little war of words there on the PJTV set. Well, then fast forward several months later, and I think Gingrich realized which way the wind was blowing. And then his people reached out. They were coming to St. Louis, and they wanted to sit down with grassroots leaders and would I get people together. And I give him credit because he came with his hat in his hand, and he realized, I see where this needs to go. This is very similar to the conservative resurgence. And we all appreciated that, and everybody's maintained a good relationship with him after. He's been on the same page. He saw it, and he gets it. So I know what it is to go to war with the GOP. I went to war with Mitt Romney's folks in 2012, and they tried to get me booted off of CNN when I was a contributor. So believe me, I know. Over this weekend, I started watching, rewatching. I read the book. I read a biography of John Adams. But I started watching HBO's fantastic series on John Adams. It's one of the best ones done. Paul Giamatti stars as John Adams, and Laura Linney as Abigail Adams. And it's very well cast. Everybody from Ben Franklin, I even think, to Thomas Jefferson. And it's very evident. Sam Adams is wonderfully cast. He's 13 years older than John Adams in real life. They were second cousins. Very different, even though they were in this fishbowl of Massachusetts at the time. And when you look back at where everything actually happened on the map, I find it remarkable that so many things took place in such a small area and contributed to so much of American history. And it's evident per history as well, and letters and public accounts of dialogue, that John Adams and Sam Adams had very different approaches to American independence. Sam Adams was a rabble-rousing, speech-making, fearless son of liberty. And he took to the streets in the aftermath of the Boston Massacre with a very, very ceremonial, theatrical funeral march for those who were killed by the British soldiers in Boston Square. And he was the fire that burned those embers beneath the colonists' disdain. He really didn't have to do much, honestly, on that account, because the Crown's very egregious offenses to the rights of its American subjects provided way more than enough kindling for those fires of rebellion to rage. And Sam Adams, he was like the hype man of the revolt, right? He kept the energy up. He kept the colonists focused and organized. He influenced sentiment, and he spread the word of Boston's struggle. He brought courage to the heart of the colonists, and he inspired other leaders in other colonies to act. And Sam Adams was absolutely indispensable to the cause of liberty. John Adams, very studied, brilliant, brilliant, logical man, very careful speaker, wasn't the best speaker. He was very reserved in public display, and the very first service that he ever rendered to our country was to defend British soldiers who were accused of killing colonists in the Boston Square without provocation. That was the defense. That's what they were saying. And to demonstrate the significance of due process and the rights that colonists were denied by the Crown, he accepted the case. And he accepted this case in the face of threat, in the face of ridicule, risking his own life, his own livelihood, his own reputation, not just that of himself, but of his pregnant wife and his children. And his actions were not initially well received by the colonists. Everyone thinks that the founding fathers were this merry band of frat boys, and they were all BFFs. They weren't. John Adams warred with Ben Franklin on how to handle diplomacy in France. He argued with Sam Adams on keeping people on track and not having those fires burn too hot. And in this particular case, without maligning, and this is important, without maligning the colonists' just arguments against the Crown or the spirit of liberty, John Adams demonstrated the importance of due process and consistency, not just for the crown's sake, but for the colonists' sake as well, because they needed to see that liberty, to be liberty, must be consistent. And John Adams was also indispensable to the cause of liberty. Both men had such different approaches, and yet both were needed. The American Revolution needed Sam Adams to fuel it. They needed John Adams to provide those boundaries. And I think of both of these approaches in this context. There was a letter, actually, that I found that John Adams had written on balanced government. He wrote it to Sam Adams. This was October 18th, 1790. He talked about the attraction and allurements of popularity. He talked about the false, sometimes falsely claimed motive of virtue or false virtue. And he also discussed in this letter that I'll link in the newsletter this evening that it's good to revolt when it's required, and it's good to stand up against injustice. But you don't want to lose all patience and all temperament to the point where you're sacrificing strategy and you're sacrificing really forgetting kind of the reason why you started. And I was looking back on that in the context of today's GOP, because I think that both Adamses knew that contentment can be an enemy of liberty, and that people, when kept fat and fed, they're disinclined to seek liberty. Sam Adams wanted to motivate. John Adams wanted to remind people of their purpose, their careful purpose. And sometimes those approaches seemed at odds, but they weren't. It was a yin and yang required to balance the party. I say this because I feel like in some respects, and this is a stretch, but in terms of sentiment and in terms of attitude and in terms of approach, you have both of those sides in the GOP today. You definitely had it with the Tea Party. You had the Tea Party and you had Newt Gingrich. You had people who, to hell with caution, let's do it. And then you had the people like John Adams who were like, okay, well, let's be careful in our approach. We don't want to forget why we're doing this, and we don't want to become like the despots that we despise. Here's where I think that Liz Cheney is differing. One of the things that John Adams and people who were moderate in their public display of passion, because John Adams, for instance, loved the Boston Tea Party. He talked about it in a letter that he wrote to other founders, but he was very careful with how he said it publicly because he wanted to make sure that it was restrained for massive impact, that it just didn't look like it was a bunch of lawless people. And that was a good point. He never, ever, ever insulted the hearts of the colonists. He never insulted the cause, their heart for it, and he never discounted why they felt the way they felt. They were feeling a pain that he in his position as a solicitor did not. And this is where I feel like the people like Liz Cheney are parting from this, and this is why they will not be successful. We're going to talk more about this because it's a big topic. Coming up as well, I'll make sure I send that out in the newsletter.
It's the Dana Show.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Yeah, you're going to want to get today's newsletter because there's a lot of good stuff in there for you. You're going to want to make sure that you get it. All right, so first up, I have a list of my Florida Man stuff, and you have to forgive me because my list just refreshed, so I have to restart it. And actually, I had to like reshut down the whole dang thing. What? Yeah, I know. Because I keep everything. And this is the stuff that you sent me as well. Okay, so first up, let's see here. All right, I got it. Yes. So this was a Florida scuba diver who discovered a 50-pound Ice Age mammoth bone in the river. Dang. Wow. And yeah. Derek Demeter and Henry Sadler, it was a 4-foot, 50-pound bone in the Peace River, P-E-A-C-E, and they said it was an amazing discovery. He said that one of the divers yelled out to the other one, "Oh, Derek, I found something. Oh, my goodness." And it was a Colombian mammoth. It wandered around Florida, they said, between 2.6 million and 10,000 years ago. Wow, that's like kind of a big difference. They said the actual age is really, I mean, it's enormous. I actually would, it actually would be a really good piece of like modern artwork. Although I have a thought of what it looks like, and I'll tell you about this. Not now. All right. So also a Florida man was armed with a taser, a BB gun, mace, and gas. Is his name John Wick? Because he got upset over a dog and barricaded himself in a Tampa home. Okay, it's not John Wick, because John Wick would not barricade himself in a home. A 31-year-old, he is in custody now, finally. They took him in custody Monday, early morning, but he used a BB gun to shoot out windows. He was identified as Paul Izell, and he was upset about an argument over a dog. It's what Tampa Police Department would say. He threw an unknown object through the window. He was... the homeowner allowed him inside the residence for a few months. He was asked to leave, and there were no injuries or anything like that, but they did have to, they took him into custody because he would not stop throwing stuff into this home, including what they described as a deadly missile. Wow. Keep it here. We got a lot more in store, folks.
Nursing homes is being looked at by the Eastern District. That was a political investigation started by Donald Trump. Who politicized not just COVID, but then politicized nursing homes and policies towards nursing homes, and wanted to blame Democratic governors like myself and Michigan and New Jersey and Pennsylvania. It was all our fault.
Oh my gosh. This is when I close my eyes and I'm like, okay, God, you're going to need to hold me back from this. Hold me back. And I don't mean it like, you know how a guy who doesn't want to fight the other guy who like throws himself at his friends and goes, hold me back. I mean, like, catch me and try to get me, hold me back. Oh my gosh. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. Sign up for Chapter and Verse, the newsletter. You're going to get, there are going to be two things that go out, actually three things that go out tonight. One is prep for the paid subscribers. Then I have for everybody the Newsweek piece and some more information about fighting CRT in your school district. And then I have another piece coming up, and we're going to continue discussing some of this with the fight within the GOP. So we're going to get into all of that. You don't want to miss a bit of it, because it's all good stuff. And I think it's good, especially with everything happening right now. All right. So that is Andrew Cuomo. He also said at that same press conference that, and I was trying to, you have to bear with me, because I was in my house and I had the TV going in my office. I'm thinking, and it was getting played something. And he said something like, oh, it's not my fault. This wasn't my fault. I didn't do anything wrong. He said this. Now, granted, I would imagine when you're, even if you're as guilty as all get out and you're going through the legal process, you are probably not wanting to admit guilt. But dude. And as Kane reminded, Bill de Blasio was even saying, look, they don't even have to have an investigation because, I mean, these people already said all of this stuff. Listen,
Brianna, it's almost the point where we don't even need the full formal investigation because everyone's just admitting that they covered up. I mean, this has been one after another piece of evidence that there was a full-fledged cover-up, that it was explicitly to help the governor sell his book. This was one of the motivating factors, a book that he used state employees to help write.
Yeah. I don't even think he wrote his own book himself. I think it was all ghostwritten, honestly. And the idea that this is somehow even related to Trump. These are New York Democrats that said, this is bad what you're doing. We're going to start an investigation. Trump doesn't call the shots for these positions in New York. I mean, that's just really ridiculous. That's just really ridiculous. Anyway, welcome back. I feel really bad for my friend Janice Dean and all the other families who have to constantly go through this stuff because of this guy. Oh, it's just infuriating. Zero personal responsibility. Zero. I have one of my newsletters, and we were talking about this, and I think this is important because I think we're coming up at a crucial point here for the GOP, and I know that the Republican Party is desperately trying to get some ducks in a row because there's a very good chance that in 2022 for midterms, they could actually reassume control of the House if they don't get into their own way. Republicans are always their own worst enemy. And I see this happening right now with this big giant fight that's taking place between people like Kevin McCarthy and and Liz Cheney. And has to do with, I know Cheney wants to be House Speaker at some point. Maybe she'll run for president. I've been telling people for at least 5-6 years that she has had very high political ambitions. And, you know, there are a lot of these politicians who do that want to go past their current office. But as I was talking about a little bit earlier before we were going to break, I think that these factions of the GOP, look, Republicans, y'all got to learn how to coexist. I'm just going to say, you got to learn how to live with each other. The Cheney Republicans got to learn how to live with the Jim Jordan Republicans. The McCarthy Republicans, they got to learn how to live with the Romney Republicans. You may not like it, but guys, there's a yin and yang for every party. And I was going through the history of this, looking at the founders even. There was a yin and yang with the founders. The founders weren't, it wasn't like a bunch of dudes who all thought the same thing and acted the same way and believed in the same stuff, all got together and had a big old constitutional kegger. That isn't what happened. I was talking about this a little on break. They clashed with each other. The Federalists and Anti-Federalists clashed with each other. There were some who were holding out, like George Mason, who was like, I'm not signing a thing until we have a recognition of rights, Bill of Rights. That's the whole reason that it was even incorporated in the founding documents in the first place. This is incredibly important to realize because everyone likes to turn the founders into saints. And the founders were men. They were humans. I would even include Abigail Adams is one because she was absolutely valuable counsel to her husband and was a fascinatingly intelligent woman. And by the way, sidebar for all the people who are like, oh, but country's built on a writ. John Adams was a strict abolitionist from the get-go. All the Adamses were. John Adams particularly. Strict abolitionist through and through. He was never a slave owner. And there were certain things that he fought for in the founding documents to reflect this and also to allow for the realization of this just nationally. So put that under your hat. That's a whole other topic. But people really do like to sanctify the founders. And I get it because it's a magical thing. This country is so unbelievably unique. I mean, here we have a republic, but a democratic process therein. I mean, it's a knit union of independent states. But as I was saying, they were all still people and they all still had different ideas about how to do things. And I was using John Adams and Sam Adams as kind of the contrast to this because Sam Adams was such a rabble rouser, a fire starter, and you could not have had the American Revolution, which is what preceded the War of Independence. You could not have had it without either of those sides. You needed the rabble-rousers. You needed the people in the streets. You needed the committees of correspondence. You needed the Sons of Liberty. You needed all of it. You know, the Boston Massacre began. Ultimately, the story goes is that there was a British soldier in a bar. And this was at a time when the crown was not paying British soldiers well. And so a lot of British soldiers were going and taking these fishing jobs that a lot of these other colonists needed. And Crispus Attucks, who was a free man, was one of those. He was a rope maker, a dock worker. He worked on these fishing vessels. And apparently they were having some brews at one of the bars there in Boston. And this redcoat comes in and they, you know, there was some, you know, taunting and all of that. And it apparently grew from that. Now, the colonists had every right to be angry at the Brits. Every right. And John Adams recognized this. But he also realized that there needed to be a controlled rage, a controlled reaction. Because a revolt that goes too far, remember when Tocqueville, when he was writing about the differences between, well, you don't remember, but you know, when he was writing about the differences between why did the French Revolution end up the way it did and why did the American Revolution end up the way it did? And I think obviously there's a lot of things that go through it, but I think that contribute to that a lot. I mean, obviously, but I think one of the things is that there wasn't a controlled enough a checked enough of a balance. There was so much fire starting that it went unchecked. And I think that is one of the reasons it got so bad that you had Napoleon that came in and ended up snuffing it all out. So there's, we need both sides. And this was absolutely true with our founders. You needed both sides. Like in France, you had Ben Franklin and John Adams that were at odds with each other on how to deal with the French. John Adams couldn't understand. I mean, these were people who, you know, pretty themselves up during the day and they play games and they drink, etc. And you don't talk about politics during the times that you enjoy, you know, you're enjoying yourself. And there was a very different way of doing things. And he could not understand the theater of that. Or he could, but he just didn't have time for it. He ended up going back to Massachusetts, and Ben Franklin was promoted as the main diplomat in France. They you need both sides. There were you have to have that yin and yang. You had the very rebellious fire starting colonists, and then you had the ones who were the other colonists who were a little bit more reserved. I go back to that one letter I shared with you guys from Washington. He was writing to John Hancock. I shared this with you last week. About how he was, and it was still really fun. It's still hysterical to me. It's one of the funniest things I've read, actually. And it wasn't meant to be, but he was just raging to Hancock about how, oh my gosh, these colonists, they formed a militia. They weren't going to ask the Continental Congress. They didn't have to. Washington recognized that. So did Hancock. So did Adams. So did everybody. But he's like, these men are so incorrigible. My gosh, they are. He's like, they're resistant. He didn't say it exactly like this, but the basic gist was they're independent to a fault. They can't even form one cohesive army. They're so independent right now and so anti-authority, which is so American. It's hysterical, and I love it. He recognized it, and while he was complaining about it, there was a compliment in his tone. You need both sides. So I look back at this thing with Cheney. Here's the difference. John Adams, he never impugned the motives of the colonists. He never impugned or questioned the sincerity, because he shared it, of the passion of their resistance. That's one of the reasons why he was able to be so successful, and one of the reasons why people listen to him. And I think that Liz Cheney, if she wants to be successful, and she doesn't just want to be a bomb thrower for one side of the GOP, needs to embody that and do the same thing. Not to be like a leader, but just to exist in the party. Because tweeting the stuff like she does, like she said, this doesn't help. She's like, the presidential election was not stolen. Anyone who claims it was is spreading the big lie, turning their back on the rule of law and poisoning our democratic system. Look, there's one thing that a lot of people on the left agree with most everybody on the right. There is election fraud. That's an issue separate from, was the entire election stolen? Not everyone on the right agrees that whether or not the entire election was stolen. And that's fine. You know why? Because if you disagree with one thing with someone on your side, you don't throw them out. Husbands and wives, do you do this in your home? Do you throw your kids out if you have a disagreement with them? Do you end relations with your parents? No, you don't. I think the way that she tweeted this was antagonistic, whether it was on purpose or whether it was a miscalculation on her part. But that's not helpful. It's very difficult for me to see someone as a victim when they are also an antagonist. And I think she can give it as good as she gets it. You need both sides. You have to have your Jim Jordans and your Tom Massey's and your Kevin McCarthy's. And quite honestly, you need the boring ones too. You have to have that balance. Look at the left. They don't have it anymore. They lost it. The inmates are running the asylum. And you see where that party's going. You have to have both sides of that spirit in the party. This is something that the founders recognized, and I have letter upon letter upon letter, letter after letter after letter after letter after letter I could share with you on this. I could sit here and read to you one letter that I have right before me that was from John Adams to Sam Adams about a balanced government that was written in October of 1790. I have another one that had to do with Hancock and John Adams. I mean, I could sit here and go on and on. They recognize this We have to as well. We have a lot more in store, including headlines coming up that you don't want to miss.
Ditch the legacy media and unfree press by subscribing to The Dana Show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
Yes, I'm going to punch Safari in the face right now. I'm going to punch it in the face and kick it in its arteries. That's what I'm going to do. I'm getting so mad about this. Oh, all right. I think I have it up now. No, I don't. Okay, now I do. I swear to you, I'm going to murder something. I was murdered. Oh, let's see. A man rescued after a tree falls on a porta-john at Gettysburg National Military Park. I'm made of comments on this. This is... Do you know, sidebar, two reasons why I don't use porta potties ever. I will explode like a goldfish first. The first is that, ew. Secondly, is because I'm terrified that even if it's in an open field, something will follow me and knock me over in the porta potty and trap me in there with the door closed or something. It's a fear. I don't understand. It's just a weird thing. Anyway, long story short, Associated Press says authorities say a man was rescued after a tree that fell during high winds trapped him inside a portable toilet at Gettysburg. Oof. The Barlow Volunteer Fire Department. They said on its Facebook page that the crew had to go out to Little Round Top shortly before 4 p.m. and they found a tree atop a vehicle, but nobody inside. And apparently the tree trapped the man in the porta pot. They had to cut with the tree away with a chainsaw and then open the portable toilet with another saw. They said he was like really lucky. I mean, there's so much more about the story that it doesn't tell me in the report. Like, was he covered in feces? Like, we all want to know these other details that you think are not as newsworthy, but really they are. Oh, let's see. Fans camp out overnight to eat at a grand opening of the new largest white castle, signifying the end of the world. Yes, because it's the only... What is wrong with people? I mean, what, they're made of onions and bad things. I don't know. The Orlando Sentinel was quoting fans saying, I couldn't sleep last night. They literally sat out waiting to get into this brand new White Castle.
Dana Lash, your social media debate teacher. Do your homework by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Sandra, the CDC has been consistently late or wrong, and sometimes both, for most of the major issues that we face during the pandemic, on warning us about the pandemic, on masks, on testing, on schools, on being outdoors consistently. And right now we've got a situation where it's the Wild West in terms of businesses trying to figure out when to bring employees back.
It's the Wild West. There you go. I don't know who that is. It's a doctor. He's a doctor. It's all nobody cares about. But wait, nobody cares if he's a doctor. You know why? Welcome back to the show, by the way, Dana Lash. Because apparently Twitter doesn't care either. I came across this. Let me pull this up. Just a little bit ago, a friend of mine tweeted. It's the guy's name is Martin Kulldorff. He is a professor at Harvard Medical School. He's a doctor. He is literally an epidemiologist. He is, he's a medical doctor. This is literally what he does. And he teaches about disease surveillance, infectious disease outbreak, vaccine safety, some other stuff I don't know, like R sequential, what, I don't even know. Anyway, he's a doctor. So... Someone asked him a question on Twitter, quote, Dr. Kulldorff, do you think younger age groups and or people who already had the virus need to be vaccinated? I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but I am vaccine hesitant about this one. It seems to be a religious mantra now that everyone must be vaccinated. Now, this guy, I've looked at his account. He's not a partisan. Not at all. He's just... he's not at all a partisan. That's what gets me. He's very scientific, very fact-based, and that's all he's into. And Twitter, he answered this. He said, quote, no, thinking that everyone must be vaccinated is as scientifically flawed as thinking that nobody should. He says COVID vaccines, this is his quote, are important for older, high-risk people and their caretakers. Those with prior natural infection do not need it, nor children. Now, again, reminder, he is literally a doctor, an epidemiologist. His specialty is infectious diseases and outbreaks. He teaches at Harvard Medical School. Twitter labeled him as misleading. They said, "This tweet is misleading. Learn why health officials recommend a vaccine for most people." That's literally what he just said. He literally just said this. I mean, his expertise is exactly what he's talking about. He is recommending a vaccine for like the elderly and their caretakers, not for people who have, as he said, prior natural infections or children. And Twitter labels it as a misleading tweet. And they've restricted how far it goes. Because the button pushers at Twitter know more than an actual Harvard medical doctor who teaches at Harvard, who is an epidemiologist, and his specialty is literally outbreaks and vaccines. Wow. This is what I'm talking about. If it doesn't go with, you can't even ask a question. Do you want to know why people are vaccine hesitant? Because of stuff like this. That's not anybody else's fault, but the people who are making that so. Not anybody else's fault. I'm amazed at this. And apparently, apparently that's like not even the only time that this has happened. There are apparently other doctors who have been silenced or have had these labels applied to their accounts as well. I'm amazed by this. And health officials, didn't they say that no one under 16 should be vaccinated? So it's like it's not even actually possible. So I don't even think that their tweet is even accurate or their label is even accurate. But this is why people are hesitant. I mean, there's nothing wrong. I mean, having a healthy, inquisitive skepticism about things used to be something that was a little, I don't know, it just seemed like it was something that was allowable and encouraged and healthy to have. And now you can't. I'm just amazed by this. So this guy, I mean, this doctor, I wonder actually too how much his account is restricted, because when they label your account like this, the way that I understand it is it's restricted and it doesn't actually go where it needs to go. So the Twitter security team is way more knowledgeable than who knew than an actual doctor, an epidemiologist.
You can't like or comment on that tweet right now. If you go to that tweet.
Yeah, I've tried liking it.
You cannot like or comment on it. It looks as though you can still retweet it or quote tweet it. But that's literally the limits that Twitter has put on this.
Twitter's an absolute dumpster fire. It really is. It is just a dumpster fire. And then why is it too? Did you see? Just to go back to, the photo. Yeah, there. Pull it up for the simulcast. If you're listening on the podcast or radio, the photo I'm speaking of is the one that the Carter Center tweeted out, and it was a wide-angle lens, and then they just smushed it into a regular photo, and it made Jill and Joe Biden look like they were giant, and it made Jimmy and Rosalynn Carter look vertically challenged to an extreme hobbit-like degree, and it made their furniture look like dollhouse furniture, and I really thought Joe Biden was going to break Rosalynn Carter's wee little chair. So they I had a point with this and I got distracted. Why the hell did I bring this photo back up other than to talk about it? Oh, something about what was it? I had a point. Gosh, dang it.
We were just talking about the epidemiologist and Twitter and the whole thing. Did Twitter like restrict this photo somewhere?
No, they didn't. They didn't restrict it at all. Nope.
Literally looks like their ventriloquist.
I brought this up for a reason, and I distracted myself talking about the tiny chair because it does look ridiculous.
This happened to you last night too, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. I like forgot everything. It's like SpongeBob in that one episode when he's being a server for Squidward's restaurant, and all he can remember is breathing and fine dining, and that's like what happened. I was so obsessed with it because I mean, there was a photographer that explained the smush. I said smush. There's actual scientific explanation that I don't care to share because I just don't care that much. I only care just enough to show you the photo.
Was it the Carters themselves were vaccinated?
Oh, the mask.
Okay, mask. That's
okay, thank you. So going into, we got a weed eater murderer in the background. Going into this photo op, they were at the, this is the Carter Center tweeted this out. Joe and Jill Biden visited with Jimmy and Rosalynn Carter. They didn't have their masks on. Now remember, Joe Biden was like, I'm vaccinated, I'm outside, no one's around me, you gotta wear a mask. And now they're with the elderly people who I would imagine those are the people that you're supposed to be protecting, right? They weren't wearing masks. As he's leaving, as he and Joe Biden are leaving, going outside, they were photographed putting their masks back on. What? Going outside in the fresh sunshine with no one else around them.
That's opposite of the guidance.
I think someone told old President Giant McUnity there that it was maybe they told him backwards. Yeah. You know, just saying. I'm just saying it would almost be worth it to pull a like an Anchorman thing with the teleprompter. If I was responsible for, you know, doing this with the teleprompter, it would almost be worth it. I'm just saying. So that's Twitter's not allowing any of that. Okay, a couple other things. They're trying to cancel Glenn Danzig. You know why they're trying to cancel Glenn Danzig? Because everybody sucks out loud. He says you could never have, he told Revolver, you could never have a punk music explosion nowadays because of this woke BS. You know, he really, because some people were like, oh my gosh, I can't believe your last caress. Pretty sure the Republicans would have like canceled him. First off, he was being absurd to highlight absurdity. And I'm sorry you're too stupid to appreciate the misfits. Don't ever, ever let his name be in your mouth again. Get it out. Should have worn my misfit shirt today. It's like a legit. But he says, people don't understand. Everything's so cancel culture, so woke. You could never have the punk explosion because of cancel culture. You could never have it. It would never happen. He goes, we're lucky that it happened when it did because it'll never happen again. You won't have any of those kinds of bands ever again. Everyone's so uptight and so PC. It's just like, okay, whatever. He's right. He is so 1,000% correct on this. And so so people are mad at him because he was completely 1,000% right. And he was also talking too about the lockdown. And I have the story up. He was also talking about the lockdown and like how you noting about how it is that you can get on a plane and then you have to do like social distancing after, and he thinks that's all ridiculous as well. And I just think it's funny that he's like, people who are aggravated at him and they think that he should be canceled because of this. It's like, do you not understand what punk is? He did a thing. This is the thing that he had with Rolling Stone, and they were talking about this whole cancel thing, and they're like, okay, so what's the story with Last Caress? And he goes, it's just a crazy blank song. He goes, we would do things just to tick people off. Yeah. And they go, so that song was, let me think of the most blanked up things I can think of. And he goes, yeah, it was to see how far the envelope could be pushed for the sit. Not that they were like endorsing it. Good heavens. But it was, I loved what he was talking about with the lockdowns. He thinks they're kind of, he thinks it's inconsistent, and the inconsistency is stupid. I mean, that's what it is. But he was, he actually was talking to Rolling Stone about this, and Revolver was writing about it. But yeah, he, like the lockdown stuff, he was saying that, you know, you can't go and do anything, and it's, it was kind of in the context of like its effect on music and, or live music anyway. But all these people are like, oh, well, Glenn Danzig misfits. These people have no idea about the misfits or anything else. They're the ones who were trying to. They think that they're going to cancel culture him. They're also trying to cancel culture. Let me pull this up. J.K. Rowling again. The Harry Potter Book Festival event was canceled because J.K. Rowling dared to say that women can also exist. It was in New Zealand. They scrapped plans for a Harry Potter themed event. You're a bigot, Harry. Over her comments, because she dared to actually say that women exist, and let's not like do all this crazy stuff regarding pronouns, etc. So they canceled that. And then an NFL quarterback is under fire because he liked a tweet that supported Trump and called for unity. New York Jets quarterback Zach Wilson, in one of the stupidest stories I've ever heard. Yeah, they're trying to cancel him. He's criticized because he liked a tweet. He liked a tweet. Liked a tweet. Some D-bags called Resist Programming went through this dude's Twitter account all the way back to August 12th, 2020, wherein Zachary Wilson liked James Woods' tweet that said, quote, "This is our last stand, folks. Here's your last defender. If they take him down, America's gone forever. Vote Donald Trump like your life depends on it." He liked it. And so this lame fascist account, they decide to go after him and for liking that tweet. Oh my gosh, he liked a tweet? How hard for you? Oh, that's so hard for you. He liked a tweet? Oh my gosh, how are you ever going to live? How are you ever going to survive? Show me on the doll where that like tweet touched you. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness, are you okay? I feel like I have to talk to people, like these people, like I do my dogs. Oh my goodness, are you okay? What happened? Someone like a tweet? Oh my goodness. It's true. You know it. Kane, someone liked a tweet. Shh. People are ridiculous. Liked a tweet. Now I'm going to keep my thought to myself. It's insanity. Cats and dogs living together.
It's their new method of complaining. Remember they did that with Marjorie Taylor Greene, I think, on some tweet she liked or something. It was just, whatever they can find to complain about is what they're going to do.
You liked a tweet. That's just like Hitler.
This isn't going to get any better. It's going to get a lot worse.
Dumber. It's getting dumber.
Oh, yeah. It'll get worse.
And what gets me is that people will dumb themselves down just to keep up the outrage. Yes. You've seen people who are, that you thought were smart, that are very stupid now because they have to dumb themselves down too. I mean, people who could, you know, actually do critical thinking. Now they're like, somebody liked a tweet? That is crazy. That is so bad. How could you like this tweet? You must be canceled. Oh my gosh. Karen intensifying. All right, as we get, I know we got to get moving on, but I just really have a lot more to do. I really want to make fun of a lot more people. By the way, we are, we'd like to welcome our affiliate relations because we picked up some new, I mean to do this more regularly, but we also added WWNR AMFM 101 in Beckley, West Virginia. Whoa! You know whose territory that is, don't you? That is Joe Manchin. That's in Joe Manchin's house. We're practically in Joe Manchin's house. And we're very excited to be on with them. And Rick Reiser is the programming director there. I hear that he loves walking the Appalachian Trail, and he also enjoys he also enjoys making his own fair food.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Sounds like an interesting guy.
Great taste. Appalachian Trail, and then of course, you know, you got fair food as well, like that. Yeah, I know. Well, deep frying all the sweets. Amazing. Love it. So big welcome to WWNR.
It's the Dana Show.
Make sure that you subscribe to that newsletter, and I'll be sending several things out this evening. Today in Stupidity, Mr.
Oh,
King.
It has to be Governor Cuomo. He was talking about the nursing home scandal, and man, it was just political. It wasn't anything that he and the staff did.
Yeah, you know.
Is being looked at by the Eastern District. That was a political investigation started by Donald Trump.
Really? Oh, let's be real.
Come on.
Do you think any district in New York would be following what Donald mm-hmm. Trump said?
Yeah, exactly. Let's be real. Yeah, he didn't. So, that's not at it's all. Pretty stupid. Those are all Democrats that complain against you, not Trump. But, you know, what? Okay. That does it for us today, folks. DanaLash.com. Subscribe to Chapter and Verse. I'll be back with you behind the mic tomorrow.